Hello, this is CoronaCast, our daily podcast that's all about answering your questions about coronavirus. I'm physician and journalist Dr. Norman Swan.
And I'm online health reporter Tegan Taylor. So Norman, Tasmania's closed its borders. The rest of Australia hasn't taken as strong action yet. What's the next step in Australia?
So the Tasmanian decision, Tegan, is an interesting one. It will certainly prevent the importation of people who might be carrying the virus onto the island. So from that point of view, it could be effective. Whether it's constitutionally valid, because there's a constitutional arrangement in Australia where you're not allowed to put up barriers to interstate trade. So we'll see what happens with that and watch it. But it shows the extent to which people are prepared to go to control this epidemic.
So we start every episode of CoronaCast answering your questions. And if you want to send a question in, just go to abc.net.au/coronavirus. We're getting lots of questions around schools and how schools should be practicing social distancing. I know at my children's schools, they've spaced the desks out differently. They're asking kids to wash their hands multiple times a day. How does this fit with what's happening elsewhere?
I think it's highly variable what's happening elsewhere. I mean, there's been a lot of parents taking photographs of the toilets in schools and how there's no soap and they haven't been able to afford soap. And I think that unless you can ensure that it's hygienic, the kids must be able to wash their hands in soap and water, then you've got a problem. You've got an environment where things could spread. Very hard to control spatial distancing. We probably should start on the CoronaCast talking about spatial distancing, because that's what we're talking about, keeping a space between you and other people. And that's very hard with kids. They want to play with each other. There's rough and tumble. The reality of schools, though, and we're getting a lot of questions into CoronaCast, should I keep my child home from school or preschool? And I think at this stage in the epidemic, the clear message is, at least in a country like Australia, where we don't have a lot of coronavirus yet, is that you've got to separate individual risk from community risk. The debate about closing schools and preschools is actually, sounds harsh to say, is actually not about protecting the individual child, because the individual child's risk is low. So speaking personally, I'd actually be saying, if I had kids at school age these days, I don't at the anymore, is I would be sending them to school because the risk is actually fairly low at school. Why we talk about school shutting is that once it gets into the school system and it spreads, kids don't get very sick, but they do spread it, and they spread it to the rest of the community. And I think, as we said yesterday, in some countries, 30% of new infections come from young people who are not very ill with this, and they're half as infectious, by the way, as other people who are more sick, but they do spread it a lot because they're mixing and they're close to each other. So it's a public health thing. Until the authorities, if and when the authorities decide to shut down schools, that's when you keep your kid at home, because it's a public health measure for the community. At the moment, your child is not going to be saved from very much of anything by staying at home, apart from the extended stir craziness.
Right. Speaking of the small, adorable and slightly disgusting things in our lives, let's talk about pets. Should we keep people stop...
You associate your children with your pets, do you, Tegan?
Well, they're very cute and they're small, and they also like to put their bodily fluids on my face.
Right.
So social distancing and pets, could you catch the virus off a pet's fur, you know, thinking about the pet as a surface, or should we stop other people from touching our pets?
The answer is nobody knows the answer to this question. I think somebody grew some SARS-CoV-2 from a dog. So the dogs seem to be able to carry this. Do they pass it on? Nobody knows. Do they get sick with it? We're not getting any reports of dog sickness with SARS-CoV-2. Who knows? It's a new infection. I mean, it's possible it could make animals sick, but we're not getting that there. And do they pass it on? The World Health Organization's advice was, don't do anything bad to your dog because they might be carrying SARS-CoV-2. Could they carry on fur? It's possible. The problem with pets is that pet owners taking their dog for a walk mix with other pet owners and chat with them, and their dogs mix and what have you. And you probably, without thinking about it, break that spatial barrier of 1.5 meters, because you're all there standing talking to the kid and the dogs are running around the park. So I think that's the problem with pets rather than the pets themselves. Could there be on the pet's fur? probably in the same way as it could be on your skin, but we don't know the answer to that question.
Well, let's look at what's happening elsewhere in the world. Why is it that Italy's mortality rate seems to be so much higher than China's?
I think it's just the demography of Italy, in other words, the pattern of the population. So China tends to have a younger population than we do, at least some parts of China. So for example, again, if you compare Italy to, say, Australia, Italy has, I think, 23, 24% of its population is over 65, whereas a young country like Australia, it's 16% is over 65. So the fact that you've got more older people around means that you've got more people who are highly vulnerable to dying from COVID-19. And that's almost certainly why you're getting high case fatality rates in Italy. Another reason could be that we're not measuring cases. They're not measuring cases that well because they're so overwhelmed. And therefore, the denominator, because it's case fatality rate, the number of people who die compared to the total number infected. And maybe the total number infected is artificially small. And if they knew everybody who was infected, it would drop down to where China's is, about 3%. So this is a combination of testing, demography, and it's hard to pick your way through it.
So one of the things that we do almost every single day is look at a new piece of research that's helping shed light on this virus. And Norman, you were talking about something that's telling us more about how long the virus lasts on certain surfaces.
So this was an artificial experiment. So this wasn't in the real world where you might have had a hospital room where somebody had been with SARS-CoV-2, with COVID-19. And with the SARS-1 epidemic a few years ago, they did a lot of these surveys and showed maybe up to 4 days on those sorts of surfaces in a natural environment. So this is an unnatural one. They try to simulate it as much as possible, creating aerosols and trying it out on air, really, plastic, stainless steel, copper, and cardboard. So the bottom line here is that on plastic and stainless steel, you can get viable virus up to 72 hours after applying this the surface. It was less on cardboard, about 24 hours, and lasting for about 24 hours. And on copper, it didn't last much more than 4 hours. And copper is known to have a sort of antibacterial effect, but there's not much copper in our general environment. The good news here was that there was quite a rapid decline in the amount of virus. So although you could detect virus after, say, 3 days, there was a fairly rapid decline in that. And there wasn't that much virus after 3 days, but it was theoretically possible. And then there was a sense here. Now, you've heard us saying on this program before that you don't catch it from breathing in the air. You've got to get droplets in close contact. And that's what the epidemiology suggests, is that when you look at it, people do seem to be catching this from close contact with other people, not from breathing in the air. Although this research would suggest it's theoretically possible, because you do get survival for a few hours in the air when there's a lot of dust in the air, so-called fomites. So it is possible, but I hesitate to be too definitive here. You can hear me umming and aahing a bit. Is that this was an artificial experiment which suggests that what we already knew about SARS-1 is probably true for SARS-CoV-2. Common surfaces like plastic and stainless steel lasts up to, you know, around about 3 days. But air was the new thing here. And whether or not you can actually catch it from the air is another matter, because we're not getting strong sense of that from general transmission. Although you have to say that on cruise ships, you do wonder how much of it was surface and how much of it was close contact between people that didn't have to get the droplets through by being close contact with them. But nonetheless, some sense of where you sit with these surfaces.
And so SARS and SARS-CoV-2, if they last for a pretty similar length of time on surfaces, the fact that SARS-CoV-2 has gone so much further suggests it's more about what's happening in the body than how long it's lasting on surfaces?
Yes, I think that's right. It's that you pick it up and you pass it to two or three people. And I think I can't remember what the R-naught value for SARS-CoV-1 was, but this is a highly contagious virus which spreads quite easily.
Dr. Norman Swan and Tegan Taylor on their daily podcast called CoronaCast. Now, when I say daily, it's every weekday. You can find it on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. So reminding you, because of the changes in the circumstances around the spread of the COVID-19 virus across this country as well, if you're listening on a Sunday to something that's happened in CoronaCast over the week, it may well be out of date. So just bear that in mind. But during the week, every every single day. And if you have a question you'd like Norman and Tegan to address, go to abc.net.au/coronavirus and you can pose your question there. In the meantime, Mindfully have released 8 of their best meditation episodes. So my suggestion is get the latest from CoronaCast and then go to Mindfully on the ABC Listen app to help respond calmly to what you've just heard.